My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates, a podcast of one particular creative life. That would be mine. It's my hope that by sharing my experiences, my triumphs, my challenges, my week to week, that you will find things to bring into your own creative life. And together, we will keep on doing what we do, which is making stuff. I have been a creator for basically a quarter century. I am an independent author with 15 works of fiction and nonfiction on the market. I've been a podcaster for 20 years. And in my day job, I help other people and companies bring their own creative endeavors to fruition, to market. I work with everyone from other independent creators to small business owners to entrepreneurs to, once in a great while, big media corporations and personalities. So, this is the second episode where I'm on camera, and we're seeing how that goes. I am encouraged. Last week's episode, oh, by the way, it's August 1st, 2025. It's around 7:30 in the evening here in the lush and lavish outdoor studios of MWS Media. In the last week, since the previous episode went out, a little less than a week. It's been a week since I recorded it, but it came out on Monday or Tuesday. I've been encouraged by this addition of the on-camera element. More comments on YouTube than I've gotten on the audio-only version of the podcast in, well, for many episodes. So, if the idea is to reach more people, I think I've made the right decision. One of the kind of goals and sort of driving principles behind, and we're going to get to goals and driving principles in a second, as promised last episode. One of those is that these things aren't difficult to create and to bring to the world. It's impossible to have things be completely frictionless. In fact, a little bit of friction can be good. But I don't want these to be big production projects. And the last episode, which I recorded in two parts in my car last Friday, last episode I got pretty much all the way to done in maybe all together, not all in one fell swoop, but all together, probably about 3 hours. Not bad. Could be better. Will get better. But, yeah. So here we are. The idea is that, is that a squirrel behind me or something? I'm in a park, as you probably can tell. The idea is, you know, what's been up, with me as a creator in the last week. You know, I talked in the previous episode about coming to grips with the fact that, yeah, I'm pretty solidly in burnout, and what that's meant for me and what I've been doing to kind of get out of it, because it's been a terrible year for creativity. And yeah, we're only in July, but I mean like the last 12 months, let's say 18 months, maybe 24 months. It's been bad for me, for reasons I got into in the previous episode, but to just recap briefly, just overworked in my professional life, and a little overburdened in my personal life, some sleep deprivation, just all in all, just low energy, and not much capacity for anything beyond the day-to-day. And so how do you get out of that? Well, there are things that, of course, we can't control, right? Certainly things that I can't control in my current life. But I did recognize that I was doing a lot of reacting. I kept thinking to myself and writing in my journal about how I didn't feel like I had any agency. Like I didn't have any direction or control over the direction, I guess I could say, in my life. And that made me realize that, well, you know, part of that is that I am not acting with intention. I'm reacting to things that need to happen, and I'm handling things on the day to day, but I'm not doing anything more than one way or another, just reacting to things. And I remembered that many years ago, when I was a bookseller, I worked for 10 years for the bookselling chain Borders, which was, you know, mostly in the United States, but a little bit in Canada and in Europe. And I think we had a store in Singapore and one in Australia, worldwide, but mostly in the United States. And I was all in the United States with my stuff. But I, over the course of those 10 years, I held every possible position at the store level in that company, from bookseller all the way up to interim general manager. I was the trainer of trainers for my district. So I was the person who, one of the people who would train the people who would train new booksellers. I helped open a bunch of stores. I managed people between, you know, three direct reports and, of course, an entire staff of, you know, 40 to 50 people. And then when it came to creating, helping build these new stores, you know, coordinating with many different people at different levels. And that required a lot of intention and a lot of organization and a lot of planning. And it was recommended to us pretty early on, like when you first become a manager, they give you a Franklin planner, and the book that went along with it. Now, I don't remember the name of the book, but it was basically the Franklin Covey system. Stephen Covey, who was most popular for his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. The Franklin Covey system that was incorporated in the Franklin planners was sort of a cross between what Stephen Covey recommended and Benjamin Franklin's, what, 280-year-old sort of rules for living. And it's those rules for living, these guiding principles and core values that are the basis of everything else in the Franklin Covey system. And I really found it useful when, you know, I had to manage these people and week to week and month to month activities, not just at the store, but stores, but also, you know, in my day to day. I got away from the Franklin Covey system after I left Borders in 2005, primarily because the actual paper binder that you do all this planning in and manage your day to day was prohibitively expensive. And so I have pursued other sort of, you know, personal planning and personal management systems over the years. But I kind of forgot that the big thing behind the Franklin Covey system that just resonated with me was the way that it kind of initially all stems from discerning your core values and your guiding principles. So that rang a bell with me recently, in the last month or so. And I thought, well, okay, I need to get back to acting with intention. And acting with intention means knowing what I want, what I'm aiming for, what I'm shooting for, over the course of a week, a month, a quarter, a year, a lifetime. And so I started to think about, well, what today, now, are my core values and principles? What does that even mean for me right now? Here's what I came up with some thinking. I'm working off my book's tablet here. It's an e-ink tablet. So you're going to see me reading because I just don't want to forget anything. So the idea is that every project, every task, every activity that goes into your planning for your day to day in some way answers to, helps fulfill, honors these core values and guiding principles. So these are mine. And they're not really in any particular order. The idea is that they really should be kind of balanced, right? So that you're developing all the different parts of your life sort of, you know, at the same rate. In practice, some things really do need to take priority and be given a little more attention than others. All right, so here we go. So the first thing, because everything else, honestly, really does depend on this, and that is health and fitness. For me, I'm going to kind of skim from my notes here. At least 7.5 hours of sleep every night. And that's, you know, solid, unbroken sleep. We have cycles of sleep that we go through, and each one is about 90 minutes long. And an entire cycle basically helps you process memory and helps you, heal physically and emotionally, literally washes your brain to get the sort of built-up toxins flushed away. You are supposed to have 5 of those sleep cycles a night for really optimal health. And this varies based on your age and whatnot. And of course, different people are going to be different, but that's the sort of the standard. And here's the thing about those, they're cumulative. So getting 5 is great. Getting 4 is not nearly as good. Getting 3, really not as good. And so on and so forth. So around 7.5 hours of sleep gives you 5 or so sleep cycles. Physical fitness. You know, we have a dog, and because of my partner's health issues, I do most of the walking for the dog. We don't really have a yard where we can, you know, just let the dog do their business in the yard. So there are 5, sometimes 6 walks a day. I'm doing most of those, so I'm walking on average about 4 miles a day. Which is great, you know, that's cardio, whatever. But I need to address other physical activity because my muscle mass, now I've never been a big muscular guy. I've always been more of the lithe type. You know, think Peter Parker drawn by Steve Ditko, not Peter Parker drawn by John Romita. If you know, you know. So part of that health and fitness is the fitness part, doing more. For me, my favorite way to get that exercise is body weight calisthenics, you know, push-ups and squats and things like that, exercises that pretty much just have your body working against your body. Mental health, whew, that's a big one. I, other than a little bit of yoga nidra to try to fall asleep at night, I don't really have a consistent meditative practice. I have, and when I do, I see a benefit. That's going to include some sort of gratitude journal, which I used to keep about 10 years ago. I pretty regularly kept a gratitude journal. And for accountability, I would post it to Instagram every night right before I went to sleep. I need to get back to that. There is a real, literal mind shift that happens when you act out of gratitude and when you recognize the things that you're grateful for in your life. It helps elevate your mental state, and I need that because, well, to combat the burnout, to combat the burden of the things that are out of my control. Hey, how about some regular blood work? That's next on the list here. I am on blood pressure medication. I have had borderline cholesterol issues in the recent past that I'm going to want to keep an eye on. My mother was diabetic, something to watch out for. So, you know, making sure that I take advantage of the annual checkups and doing regular, you know, probably I should be doing quarterly blood work just to keep things on track. The blood pressure is under control, so that's good. That's the sort of thing I can monitor at home. Can't really do my own blood draw and testing at home, though. So, and vision and my teeth. I need new glasses. I am about a year and a half overdue on getting new glasses. I keep putting it off because it's an expense that is not always easy to budget for. But I really ought to get on that. There's not like there's really a family history or anything like that of issues, but the last time I had my eyes checked, I was told that as a consequence of age, I just turned 58. 58? Yeah. Trust me, when you get to a certain age, there are years where it all kind of just blends together. Anyway, last checkup I had with my eyes, I was told that there are some very, 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 very small cataracts. It just happens, especially someone with light eyes like myself, and dental. So overdue, I don't even want to tell you, but so overdue. And I know that dental hygiene has a direct impact on many of the other things that I just talked about, blood health and cholesterol and heart health and all those things. This is probably the year that I get back to regular dental visits. The first few are going to be doozies. All right, so that's health and fitness. The other thing is my creative life. I have always been that person who needs to create. When I'm not creating, I'm not myself. I get grouchy. Not being able to make things, which usually means writing or writing adjacent activities or music or, you know, things like in that realm. When I don't get the opportunity to regularly make stuff out of what's in my mind, you know, taking thoughts and putting them into some tangible form of expression, it's bad for me if I don't get the chance to do it on the regular. So I need to make sure that I'm spending a substantive portion of every day doing creative things. as a full-time freelancer, that can be challenging because the stuff that I personally make for me, well, for you, but not for clients, is not what pays the bills. So the sort of late-stage capitalism impulse is put that off because you got to do the stuff that pays the bills. I need to commit to, I have committed to going ahead and paying my soul as much as I pay the bills. Because, again, just like with sleep, everything else follows from that. If I'm not doing that thing that makes me feel like a whole person, here comes a helicopter. I don't know how much we're going to just wait on that. Police helicopters, they are fairly common around here. If I don't give myself the opportunity to regularly and actively be creating, then everything else suffers. And I mean everything. Now there are many specific things. I'm not going to go down one by one by one, but of course, there are several novels. There's a novel that I've been working on for the last 3 years. That I haven't touched in, well, since the very beginning of the year. I have all this music that needs to be rescued from old cassette tapes, if possible, anymore. Some of them are so old, I dread trying to convert them to digital. Creating new music. I record little snippets of songs several times a week into my phone. I would love to get back to composing and performing and recording music and releasing it out into the world. Archiving other things. My journals. My mother's decades-long family genealogy project. I feel responsible for that because I've got the laptop it's on. I've got all the papers that make it up. and I'm pretty much it. I have a nephew who, might be interested in taking on or helping with that project. And I know that his wife is a subscriber to the mailing list. So if you guys are watching this, I may reach out to see if you want to do anything with that genealogical material. And finally, my own legacy. That's part of a creative life, is what happens to the stuff that I have made and will make when I'm not here anymore. I need to give that some directed thought. The next thing up is what I'm calling sustaining prosperity. Now, I came up with that term on my own, and it means a particular thing to me, which I'll get into in a second. But turns out it's an actual term in economics. And to the economics people, economists, I believe they're called, it's the idea that prosperity at a municipal or regional or national level should be sustainable in ecological terms. Renewable resources and stuff like that. For myself, it comes back to, and I mentioned this a little bit in the last episode, sustaining prosperity for me is simply having enough for a little bit more than comfortable life, so that one is not constantly pursuing additional income, revenue. But there is enough to where there's no thought or concern about this bill or that bill, or, oh, I need this tool or this service or these repairs or whatever. So that there's not really any tension or stress over those kinds of decisions. Sustaining prosperity. I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't need to be a millionaire. So the idea is that I would be entirely sustained through the fruits of my own creative endeavors. That is a long way away. Sustaining prosperity for now, today, means developing more recurring revenue sources. I have thoughts there. I'm not going to get into them now because we're almost at a half an hour and, you know, this shouldn't really go on forever. Going to lose the light pretty soon anyway. More recurring revenue sources. Reducing my dependency on my clients. Again, that's a ways away, but I can take steps. I can make effort in that direction. That's the idea behind these core values and guiding principles, is these are the things that you should be thinking about every day. What is the life that you want? What are the things that are important to you? And focus every day on getting somewhere with those things. I've got some debt, paying that down, getting rid of it. That's part of it. Eventually, maybe, I come from my family history means that I come from a scarcity mindset. And so it's really a hem and haw when I'm about to say things like this, but I need to double my income. Maybe I can do that before my next birthday in July of 2026. It's going to take a lot of work to get anywhere near that. But again, I have thoughts. And more than thoughts, I have things that I'm taking active steps to do. More on that in another episode. Having at least 6 months of savings. Always. That's part of it too. So that's sustaining prosperity. I feel like I could talk a lot more about that, especially sort of the idea behind it, and not so much the specific things I'm doing, but why I think it's a worthwhile attitude. But we've got two more of these core values and guiding principles to get through. The next one is knowledge enrichment. And that's just learning more things that I've been wanting to learn for a very long time. I would like to become proficient with Unreal Engine, which is a 3D graphics, virtual environments, game development platform. It is what they use to make many of your favorite games, if you're a gamer. It's how they create the backgrounds and scenery in many, many, many of your favorite movies and TV shows. And it is free software. And the things that you make with it, you don't owe them anything for unless you make more than $1 million a year from those things. Incredibly generous. Remarkably generous. I have it on my computer. I've dabbled in learning it. But I really want to, I am actually really going to make a concerted effort into basically setting myself with some school. You know, my own schedule of, you know, on these days, every week, for this much time, you learn Unreal Engine. Because it dovetails with two other core value guiding principles. The creative life side of things, making stuff, so many things I want to make. And the sustaining prosperity aspect, because many of the things that I could make once I've learned Unreal Engine in particular, I can sell. Similar to that, related to that, is just programming in general. I have many ideas for small, kind of bite-sized, single-purpose software programs. I have created one of these, and I'm going to be talking more about that soon. But I'd like to make more, and so that's part of that knowledge enrichment. Actively, I've always been the kind of person who needs to learn something, so I learn it in order to complete the task that I needed to learn to complete the task. Catch as catch can learning, right? But I need to be much more, intentional and directed in my learning. And so knowledge enrichment is one of these core values, guiding principles for the next year or so. And finally, social enrichment. I have always been an introvert. I don't see that as a negative trait. It is who I am. I don't make any excuses for it. People in my life have now and again, people who have now and again been in my life, let's put it that way, have inspired me. That's really a very pleasant way of putting it, to feel negatively about my introversion. But fuck that. There's great value to being an introvert. However, I do have a tendency to allow myself to become rather isolated. And I am pretty darn isolated right now. It's a long story. Long-time listeners and now viewers, folks who have been part of my Multiversalists mailing list community, and folks who just know me, know that I have been without a car of my own since the beginning of 2025. Getting along, my partner has a car, so we're not, you know, destitute or stuck riding the bus or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It would be an issue where I live because public transportation is not great. But point is, not having a vehicle of my own has only intensified the sort of social isolation that I have. And not just that, but I don't have close friends that I'm in regular contact with, especially, face-to-face contact with. And this is, you know, this is also a, it's part of what it means to be an older person in the 21st century. We have busy lives. We have obligations in our airplane going overhead. We have obligations and responsibilities. And our circles tend to be centered around those things, which makes maintaining or reviving or creating new friendships pretty difficult. But I really think that I could benefit from more face-to-face human interaction that isn't involved with work or my close circle of associates and my partner and neighbors. And so that's a focus for the year, social enrichment. And while face-to-face is ideal, a few months back, as part of the burnout, really, I think, I took all social media off my phone, and I barely look at it when I'm at my desk. Which has been good, in a way. It just got really windy. I hope that's not affecting the tripod. Look at that. This is how you know it's live, my friends. All right. And I just got a message that the frame rate was being reduced as well. I'm going to need to wrap this up pretty soon, I think. Anyway. took all the social media off my phone a few months back. Haven't really touched Facebook since February. Barely on Threads. The others, I couldn't be bothered with under normal circumstances, but I have pulled back from social networking, which is another form of that pulling back is another kind of self-isolating. Now, there have been benefits to not being as much on social media, but I think that if I kind of make it part of this larger sort of day-to-day working, it can be more manageable, and I can have it work for me as part of this social enrichment part of the package. We're edging up on 40 minutes. This has been a long, long one. This is what's going on with me right now. This is the foundational effort that I'm making to pull myself out of the burnout, to be more productive, to get back to doing the things that make me feel good, and to building a life back up again out of this sort of trench that I've been in. So there we are. In the past week, since we last spoke, I've been doing a lot of groundwork laying, and that's been good. And I've been having some great client interactions. Haven't done any writing. I tell you what, I'll let you know when I do. But in the meantime, that's what's up in my creative life. Again, today is August 1st, 2025. It is now just a little bit after 8 o'clock, and I'm going to wrap this up. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.